Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Amen. Thank God that we know him in such times as these.
Praise God.
Well, you know, there's many opportunities out there. And, you know, we find if we're chatting with people that, you know, some of them just don't seem to be the least bit concerned about the goings-on in this world. They just kind of think it's going to run its course and be as normal as they've known it. And then you come across these few that just seem to have some understanding and seem to have some concerns. And you know, it's kind of neat when you do find somebody that, you know, just has an inkling inside that something isn't right. And
right.
They can see it and they can begin to understand it. And, you know, thank the Lord. You know, God has been amazing, I must say. I think probably everybody that's online knows that a month ago plus now that Brother Tim and I got in an accident in Michigan. And, you know, it was pretty something at the moment. But, you know, God has taken care of all the details. And besides, we've just had extra opportunities to witness to people. You know, it's been pretty phenomenal in so many ways,
Amen.
What God has done. You know, they judged my car, my 2012, out back to be at a loss, and that was pretty hard to hear. That was our mission mobile, and
yeah.
We had taken a lot of trips in that car, and, you know, intended to take more. But God had other plans. The car had almost 100,000 miles on it, and it had been a really good car. I hadn't had to change the brakes or do hardly anything to it other than just oil changes and tire rotations and buy new tires. But, you know, God saw a little differently, and it was so amazing because God had another car already pretty much waiting for us. The timing was phenomenal, and I got to thank Brother Tim for his help because he's the one that did all the research. But, oh my, found a car, low mileage, 23,000 miles on it, and the thing was it's pretty much like my old one, and it just is a beautiful car, even just a metallic blue and just the same features, pretty much all that I had in my other car, plus a few more perhaps. And the reason we got it is because a woman obviously hadn't driven it all that far, but her children were urging her to get a car with higher seats. And anyway, so she traded this Outback in for, I believe it was a Ford Escape, and her children had urged her to do that. So there it was, just about the time we needed it. In fact, Brother Tim was the first to inquire, and, you know, we were the first to look at it. There were others that were on the list and wanted to see it, but God worked out all the details.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, you know, the things that had happened because of that. You know, we got to witness to the salesman. We got to witness to the finance manager. We were able to bring him a Bible, and
yes.
God only knows what will happen after that. And, oh my, there's been others. I've been going through physical therapy, and thank God I've been able to witness to my therapist. And, you know, today I had another opportunity. I was talking to a gal that called me from one of the banks. And anyway, I got to talk to her about the Lord. And it's all because we had an accident. And, you know, you just never know.
Amen.
You just never know how God's going to do it. And besides, Monday when I went in for my last therapy, I have another one due tomorrow. But anyway, it was so amazing because I don't know that I've ever been able to move my neck all the way. But it was pretty amazing, more than I could have thought. But the physical therapist working with me and taken down the tension on my neck and all these things. And it's been healing. It's been healing. You know, every time it's a little better, and the tension is less, and the spots that were knots are, oh man, they don't hurt like they used to. And she's able to use a more force when she works on me. And praise the Lord, you know, we did, you know, certain things that she felt would be good for me. And praise the Lord, after I was all loosened up and everything, I was able to move my neck like I've never been able to move it before. And all I can say is, wow, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, just grateful for Morgan, too, the physical therapist that the Lord has given me. And just thinking, it's a miracle. But that's our God. He goes so beyond what we would ever think. Yeah. It's so wonderful to have our lives in his hands, because you know he knows how to turn things around that even seem like they're not going very well. Yeah. And you know what else has happened? I've had some response. I've got a daughter that wrote me, and God's been convicting her, and you know, she asked me to forgive her. And then I got another email from another daughter today, and she said, you know, I've realized I've gone astray. And, you know, the Lord's been talking to me about that. And, you know, honestly, we serve an amazing God. Amen. And, oh, thank God he hears our cries, and he knows how to change things. He knows how to intervene in the lives of our loved ones. Oh my, we Amen. Have to, oh yes, it's going to be so worth it to have put our faith, our trust in our living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we just don't know. But I know Joseph, when, oh my, he had to go to prison for something he had not done, he must have wondered, he must have pondered, Lord, why am I here? But oh, how the Lord turned it all around for good. How the Lord used it. All those things that happened because, oh my, other people's jealousy and you know, uncontrollable urges and all this and that. Other spirits that were in other people. But yet, how the Lord knows how to keep us as the apple of his eye, and how he knows how to direct our paths. Oh, he knows how to get us home. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Oh, let's talk to him here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great things that you've done. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. Oh, God, you know how to keep us. Oh, Lord, you know, oh, God, how to make a way. Oh, God, you know how to deal with our loved ones. God, you know how to make us light in this world and help us to shine. Oh, God, oh, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, our endeavors would not fall to the ground. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, there would be some, oh, that we have witnessed to, Lord, oh, God, that would be, oh, those that fall upon the earth in with a good seed, Lord Jesus, down deep into the earth, and oh yes, with roots that go all the way down, Lord, oh God, oh, ready to be nourished and to be kept, oh Lord, into thy kingdom, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh Lord, I pray that you'd work. I pray that you'd work. Oh, you know every need, even as we come before thee here tonight, Lord. I pray for Doug, who called and asked, oh Lord, for prayer. I pray that you would touch this man. Yes, I pray in the Lord, name of Jesus, that you would deliver Doug. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd work in his life, Lord Jesus. Oh God, in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. And oh God, I pray that you'd help Will and Heather, Lord. Oh God, stretch forth your hand to use them, Lord, and give them wisdom, Lord, with Teresa. And oh God, this challenge. Oh God, you know how to melt, oh God, the heart of clay. You know how to change the circumstances, God. Oh Lord, you know how to bring about peace, Lord. And we do pray in the name of Jesus and ask, oh Lord, for thy help in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, oh God, be with Bill Rahorse, God. I pray, oh God, that you touch his body. Oh God, I pray that you'd heal him, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would raise him up. Oh God, you know every need, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would do a work that only you can do, Lord. Oh God, help your people, Lord. Help those that are discouraged. Help Anna Marika, Lord. I pray that you'd touch her even now. Oh God, I pray that you'd heal her 100%, Lord. Let thy will be done, Lord. For thou art able. Oh God, thou art willing. Oh, thou art there to meet the need. Oh Lord Jesus, and we bring it to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, help your people, Lord. Help your people, Lord. Oh God, you know the needs even before we ask, Lord. Oh God, help Penny, my sister, Lord. Oh God, that you touch her, encourage her heart, strengthen her in the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. Move in her life, oh God. Let the answers come forth. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, you know every need even before we ask, oh Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would work, oh God. Yes. I pray that you'd help Karen. I pray that you'd touch her back. Oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that she wouldn't need injections, but oh God, that you would strengthen her back and heal it. Take away the pain, oh God, whatever the cause is, thou knowest. And we bring it to you in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, Lord, amen. Do a work in Jesus' name. Oh God, so many needs, and Lord, you know I don't know them all, but I pray that you'd work in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and oh God, I pray for this message here tonight.
Yes, Lord.
You know the dire need even before I begin. I pray that you would move with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray that the Holy Ghost would come upon your people,
yes,
Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that there be true immersions, oh Lord, in the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you would do a work, God. Oh God, help us to see and understand. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh God, oh Lord, change us and move in us. Get us ready, Lord, that we might be acceptable in thy sight and be able to meet thee, Lord. Oh God, I ask that you'd work in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I give this message to you. I ask that you'd use it for thy name's sake. Oh God, help us, Lord. Get us ready. Get us ready that we can stand before you, Lord, and hear you say, well done. Oh God, work in us. And oh Lord, that the Holy Ghost come down in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I can do nothing without you, Lord. Use this message. Give me the words. Give me the anointing. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And oh my, this book of 1 Corinthians, there's so much to glean. You know, there was a church that was needy, and Paul therefore wrote this epistle of instruction, and how it helps us tonight. How it helps us tonight. You know, I want to say something here right now that the Lord put on my heart today. You know, speaking in other tongues should not be an unusual event in the church of the living God. No, it should be something that we frequently hear and see. Oh, yes. And, you know, I know what it was like when I was a girl. Yes, if you didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, you prayed through. Yes, you prayed until you prayed through, and sometimes it didn't happen at one moment. It, you know, there were people that maybe waited a long time, maybe years. I know my sister Sharon, we were baptized this very same night, but she didn't receive the Holy Ghost until many years later. And, you know, hard to figure out, but, you know, God has it all in control, and he knows how to do it. But oh, praise the Lord for those moments when someone prays through. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I know my dad used to tell this story about this dear woman back in his day when he was younger. And you know, others were receiving the Holy Ghost there in that congregation, and you know, she just had not yet, and she thought, well, when I get it, I just want to be dignified, you know, I just, you know, I don't want to make a show of myself, or, you know, have to do something, you know, extreme, or whatever, all, I just want to just be very dignified, and she just had made a point of it. Well, one night, so it was, there was a cry behind the piano. There was some noise, I should say, that was coming from the piano. And yes, there was utterance in other tongues behind the piano. And here it was. This woman had got to the point where she was so desperate to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that she's willing to get behind the piano. And I don't think it was very clean back there. I think it was kind of dusty and kind of dirty. And you know what? There she was. She got to that point where it didn't matter. I just want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to do everything I can until I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, it happened. Praise the Lord. Yes, even if it was getting behind the piano. Oh, yes. And letting the Lord do it. But oh, God is faithful. I remember a good friend I had one summer. She was staying with her sister that summer, and she was actually from a little town called Rylander. But, because, yeah, she was staying in the same house that my uncle owned, I got to meet her, and she came to church. And she had an Assembly of God background, but she had never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And, yeah, we used to pick her up and take her to church. And, you know, it was a Sunday morning, and I remember her getting out of the car, and you know, we said goodbye, and I said, well, Geraldine, just come tonight and expect to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? She came that night, and God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's something about expectancy, believing that God's going to do it, and just knowing in your heart that it's going to happen. Oh, praise the Lord. No, our yes. God is willing. That's his desire, that his church would be full of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. And of course, we have mentioned, oh yes, we've been working on the gifts of the Spirit, and there, those that are brought out in 1 Corinthians 12, and you know, they all are like us, spoke of, out of the wheel, initially the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you have the nine gifts that all come because of that Holy Ghost baptism. Yes. Amen. And, you know, thank the Lord. It's not that, you know, oh, well, you have faith and you know, somebody else has the word of knowledge. No, God gives us the gifts severally as he will, as they're needed. So praise the Lord. You know, these gifts are to be used by the church of the living God so that signs and wonders can follow us, so we can do the works that Jesus Christ began to do. Amen. So that we can finish his ministry. Amen. So we can be used of God. That's why they're there. And I'm so thankful we live in this dispensation, this time period. We're not under the law anymore. No, it was different back then. God worked in different ways under the law. Oh, yes, and when he led the children out of Egypt, yes, he used a pillar of cloud by day to lead them and a pillar of fire by night to lead them. But for this period of time, oh yes, since Calvary, since Jesus went back to heaven, oh, he promised that he would send back his Spirit. And his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is sent to us so that we would be led by the Holy Ghost. Oh, so that, oh yes, we would have that guidance continuously. He would abide with us forever. Amen. Oh yes, so that we could go out and do the things, even greater works, he said, that he had done, that we, as a church, would do. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, thank the Lord. And you know what? Oh, what a gift it is, because the Holy Ghost that the Lord gives us, oh, it's to each of us as individuals. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's not, you know, for one class of people or one gender of people or any of that. But it's for whosoever will. Let them come and drink of the waters of life freely. Amen. And praise the Lord. Yes. It's a covenant that he put within us, the new covenant that he sent forth that he could minister through each and every one of us, from the least of them to the greatest.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Oh, that we could all be the children of the Lord and all have a part in the ministry. Amen. Whatever the Lord has given to us as individuals. Praise the Lord. I thank God in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verse 31. Oh, the prophetic utterance here where Jeremiah is writing. He says in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." But then he says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Oh, when we talk about the whole family of God, yes, we're all privileged to know the Lord. Oh, he's our personal Savior for each and every one of us. Amen. We don't have to go to a prophet to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, we thank God we've got the Bible. We've got the word of life. And that, oh, how that helps us, how that grows us, how that ministers to us. But oh, we could all have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Yes, so we could all know the Lord. "For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to, come to the priesthood. Oh, yes, so that they make an atonement for our sin. And, you know, bringing a sheep or a goat or some creature that's blood has to be given in order to give us mercy, you know, to atone for our sins. But Jesus Christ paid that price. Oh, yes, so that we can come to him. Oh, yes, and we can believe. We can acknowledge him. We can come to him in faith. Oh, praise the Lord, and we can turn our lives over to him in repentance. Praise the Lord, and then go forth to obey that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, that gift, it wasn't just for them that were gathered there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But as Peter said, as he preached to the multitude that had gathered there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, talking about the Holy Ghost, "For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. Praise the Lord. That's down to us here at the end. Oh, yes, far off. But praise the Lord, the Lord is still calling. Amen. And oh, if we heed his voice, oh, what changes he makes in our lives. What hope he gives us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how he takes us as we are. But oh, he turns us into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Okay, having said all that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. see how the Lord will lead here tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Paul writes, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And let me just stop here a moment. We know that in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians that the need for charity, agape love, a love that gives without expectations in return, was extremely emphasized. And the point being that without charity, no matter what gifts we might have, they would be as nothing, because without charity, they would be as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, Paul wrote. Yes, but praise the Lord, if we're born again, if we're in the family of God, we want to follow after charity. And he says, desire spiritual gifts. Amen. Yes. Desire them. And then he says, but rather that ye may prophesy. And here, when we have the word rather, I'm going to take it to mean especially. But especially that ye may prophesy. Because here he's going to explain. And this whole chapter is about these two gifts of the Spirit here, those that we haven't considered quite as much, it seems, diverse kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And he's also going to be talking about what he considers prophecy here. And in a way, here he's making a point here. I do believe, from what I can understand here, having read this 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that the church at Corinth was very zealous for the spiritual gifts. And they were so zealous that I get the image that when they came together, that they were all just almost up against one another, in a sense. They were so eager to do and say and bring forth what God had shown them. And so you had all of this going on. And it was good, but it wasn't in order. So anyway, we're going to see how Paul is taking this and how he is seeking to put this church at Corinth in order. And he had to explain a few things that they had not understood, obviously. So he goes on to tell us in verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to ponder even in this second verse. And okay, now this is talking about initially we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we speak in other tongues, but oh, as we grow in the Lord, we find that the gift of tongues is so important in our prayer life. And, you know, if you're exercising it, you're going to understand that, you know, as you pray, and in moments that, you know, you may not know how to pray with words, that this gift of tongues will come in as we pray before the Lord, and he takes our tongue and we begin to speak forth. And sometimes it can go on for quite a while, you know, because God is using the gift of tongues through and praying through us. There obviously are many things that we can't know, and I've seen God use this in amazing ways. Oh, yes, if you have a problem that you don't know how to fix, and of course, who doesn't? Or there are situations that seem to be up against a wall, or you know you lack understanding and knowledge in many ways, and there's something that's direly needed. Well, praise the Lord, those tongues that the Lord speaking through us can make intercession for us, so that, you know, the answers can come forth, the problem can be solved, and things can come forth in an amazing way. And, you know, great battles are won. Yes, when we let the Lord speak through us, even in an unknown tongue, and it says here, if you are speaking in an unknown tongue, that you're not speaking unto men in this case, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, but howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And oh, I've seen God use this. Oh, praise the Lord. You get your back up against the wall and you don't know the answer. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. He's not limited. He knows it all. There's nothing too hard for our God. And he's able, yes, to work it out. It's always amazing how he does it. Ways that we never would have guessed, I dare say. But praise the Lord, what a gift. But, you know, Paul is going to be considering what is best when the church body gathers together, and there could even be those that are not familiar that come to the service. So, you know, he's going to bring this out, and we'll see it again and again as, you know, he's emphasizing this point. It's not really edifying if we would gather together and say there were 20 people here and everybody was speaking in other tongues, and there was somebody here who needed to be taught the Word of God. Well, they wouldn't have understanding, in other words, at that point. Oh, God can use tongues. And if we're having a prayer meeting, oh my, and we were all praying, I'll tell you what, oh my, there's mountains that certainly could go. Yes, when we pray in other tongues. But here he's explaining in verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. So if we're speaking in the native tongue or a tongue that people understand, then our words can amount to being edifying. In other words, building up. Or they can be for exhortation, which would be to warn, or for comfort, Paul is telling us here. And then he explains in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Again, when we are alone and on our knees and praying in other tongues, oh, the answers certainly can come forth. And yes, that is very faith-building. It is very edifying. So Paul is making that point in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself.
Yes.
But then he says, praise the Lord. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So that's his point. He is concerned that things would be done for the edification of the church when they gather together. So he's going to emphasize this as we continue here. And he begins to say, verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. But then he says this rather again, and again, let's think of this rather, but especially that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And of course, you can imagine if, you know, you turn on the radio and, you know, you got a station from Japan and everything was in the Japanese language. Well, we wouldn't understand a thing, would we, unless we spoke Japanese? So Paul is trying to say that, you know, in order to edify or build up the church of God, you know, if you're trying to exhort or edify or comfort, then it would be well, it would be best to do it in a language that could be comprehended by all. Amen. So prophesy, which means to speak forth or to speak with inspiration. Oh, yes, to reveal God's plan or message. Praise the Lord. All those things that come with prophesying. Yes, Paul is saying this is more profitable in the church, except if a tongue would come forth and there would be an interpretation. So, continuing here, he says in verse 6, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" See, these are the things that would build up and edify and help us to grow in the Lord. So, again, yes, you know, if it was all in Japanese and we didn't understand it, it would just, you know, it wouldn't do anything for us. We wouldn't understand, would we? No. So he goes on to explain, verse 7, "And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped?" Yeah, so you know how to know precisely. You know there has to be a distinction. And then, verse 8, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" Well, they would use the trumpets in the days of old to call the army to battle. But if it wasn't a familiar sound, if it was a sound without any understanding behind it, then how could they prepare to the battle? They just wouldn't know. They would be confused, right?
Yes.
So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak it to the air. And then he goes to say in verse 10, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." Oh yes, they all mean something, right? They all indicate something. They're all significant. But, you know, regardless, if we don't know the meaning of the voice, as he explains in verse 11, "Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian." Oh, barbarian in that time was somebody who was not a Greek or a Roman, considered uncivilized or uncultured, primitive or whatever all. But so, you know, if there wasn't understanding behind the voice, then it would, you know, just sound like, you know, a barbarian or somebody that, you know, speaks another language or another culture and all that sort of thing. "And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." So, you know, there would not be anything that would edify in that situation. So he goes on to tell them here in verse 12, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." So I believe that was the condition of this church in that sense. You know, they had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you know, they were just zealous. They were eager to use their spiritual gifts. But it seems to me that it wasn't quite done orderly, and we'll get into this as we continue to read. And it says, "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." And again, you know, we read of that in the second verse in this chapter, and oh yes, it's very profitable to pray in an unknown tongue. But he's explaining, when we do that, it's our spirit praying, it's the Lord interceding through us, and oh, you know, doing a work that we could not do with our own words. But our understanding is unfruitful. God is speaking through us, and he's working things out, situations, problems, health needs, whatever, all. He's working it out. But we don't have the understanding in that case. So then he has a solution here in verse 15. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, it's pretty amazing. Oh, yes, you get in your prayer closet and you begin to pray in other tongues and let the Lord just work through you. And sometimes, oh, yes, you could easily be singing in an unknown tongue. Amen. And oh, you know, you can sense the Lord. You know he's there. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. You know, I've been at the piano at times, and sometimes it was a new melody that they came forth, and I began to sing it in other tongues. And you know, it was like, I don't know the words in English, but I know there's words because it's coming forth in another tongue. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, Paul's encouraging here. Not only will I pray with a spirit or in other tongues, in other words, but I will also pray with the understanding. And likewise with singing, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So he goes on. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Oh, yes, you may be praising the Lord in an unknown tongue, but nobody else is going to understand that you're giving thanksgiving, that you're worshiping the Lord in that sense, unless there is understanding. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So, yes, you know, there's a great depth to it, and it's good. But see, if you're with other believers and you're gathering for the purpose of exhortation, or edifying, or comfort, or whatever all is necessary. You know, there's new people there, and they need understanding. They need to understand the gospel, the doctrines that are in God's word. Well, then it would be unfruitful to them if it was all in a tongue that they did not understand. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing, though. And you just don't know. Sometimes I've heard where somebody was praying in another tongue. Maybe, say, for example, praying in Italian, and there was somebody there that could understand what you're saying. And, oh, it brought them to the Lord. Or, you know, it helped them with a circumstance that they were dealing with. So there's that little thing that definitely can happen also. But Paul is talking in general here when we meet as the body of Christ, and we need the preaching of the word. And of course, we know it's the foolishness of preaching that brings the unbeliever to salvation, as the first chapter there in 1 Corinthians tells us. So praise the Lord. He's talking about what is necessary so that most people will understand what is coming forth, what you are saying. So he goes forth, yes, to explain. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And oh my, I forgot another verse that was right before it, and I don't want to omit that. He said, and this is important here, verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And oh yes, this is significant. I believe, as Paul is revealing this, there in his prayer closet, yes, there as he was crying out to the Lord, yes, obviously very frequently, he was praying with other tongues. And you know, it's no wonder he had such a powerful ministry, because there is power in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Jesus, yes. Jesus said it clearly there in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, when he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Praise the Lord. Yes, that's the power behind Paul's success. Yes, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He frequently spoke with other tongues. He said, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all." Oh, yes. I know there's a difference. When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a difference. There's an unction. Oh, yes, from God, that's much greater than it was before in your life. We see that example there with Peter. We see there that in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, how he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that wasn't what he intended to do. He intended to stand strong and even give his life for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But he didn't have the strength to do it. And there in the judgment hall, oh, he didn't have the strength to stand up for the Lord. But he denied him. He denied him three times, right? But oh my, what a different man after Pentecost, when he was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, when he stood before those that had crucified Jesus and told them to their face that they had crucified the Lord of glory, what they had done. Oh my, what a difference. Yes. Oh yes, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, it changes us. Oh yes, there is such a difference. And besides, it's that resurrecting power that we so urgently need. And yes, Paul had been filled with the Holy Ghost. When Ananias came to him, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and oh yes, after that vision on the road, and prayed for him that he would receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise our God. So there he clarifies it. He says again, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." See, so that they understand, so that they can follow through, so they can receive the necessary message that needs to come forth. And then, oh yes, he says, "Brethren," verse 20, "be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be man." Oh yes, we need to get this. We need to have understanding in the Word of God. Oh yes, we need to get to a place of maturity in the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. And it's explained, verse 21, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all this, will they not hear me, saith the Lord." Of course, there he's quoting from Isaiah 28. And let's go there for a moment here. Praise the Lord. He's quoting from Isaiah, the prophet. Praise the Lord. And yes, this is how it reads in Isaiah 28. Just going to go to verse 9 here in Isaiah 28. Verse 9 asks, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." He's talking about the ordinary person who will listen. Amen. And then it tells us, verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept.
precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing."
Yes, amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yet they would not hear. Oh, why is it, oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that power from on high, that authority from God. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Yet so many people don't want to hear this. So many people don't want to embrace it. So many people want to ignore it. But, oh, it's told us clearly here, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, God's great gift. Oh, that he would send forth his Spirit. Oh, he gave forth the ghost, or he gave up the ghost there on the cross. But praise the Lord, he sent back that ghost so he could dwell in his people. Oh, yes, so that we could be participants in his ways and participate in his great plan. Praise the Lord. You know, in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, he talks about the rest too. In verse 15 here in Isaiah 30, Isaiah writes, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And he would not. But ye said, "No, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." Oh, again, the offering. Oh, yes, for the rest. Returning, oh, yes, returning to the Lord. Repenting of one's sin. Giving one's heart to the Lord. Oh, yes, in that rest. He said, in returning, at rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Letting the word, letting the Lord work through us. Amen. Our confidence is in God. Praise the Lord. And letting him do the work through us. Praise the Lord. That's our strength. But so many would not. Instead, no, we will flee upon horses. Oh, we'll ride upon the swift. But oh my, that's not wise. Amen. That's not wise. And what a sad story when such a gift has been offered, such a great and wonderful gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, so as Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21 again, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord." So he goes on to explain a little more here. He says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." And, you know, certainly on the day of Pentecost, oh, those tongues, those different tongues that the 120 were speaking forth as, you know, the multitude was gathering around them after that initial experience of the Holy Ghost, certainly was a sign unto the people. They were speaking forth in every man or woman's native tongue, the wonderful works of God and the praises to God. And what a sign that was on the day of Pentecost. But it says, "But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." And of course, in order to believe, you have to have faith in order to come to God. So it's not going to help anybody that has no faith or refuses to believe in the promises of God.
That's right.
Amen. So it goes on to say, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Oh, praise the Lord. When the word of God comes forth with unction and anointing, oh, yes, it's very capable of converting the sinner, of bringing them to that place where they realize their sins and cry out to the living God in repentance. Praise the Lord. Yes, the secrets of the heart coming forth, oh, yes, from the word of God as, yes, the children of the Lord speak it forth. And then he says, there's another question here in verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And I'm not sure here, but the way this kind of sounds and the way he goes forth with the rest of this, it just kind of sounds like there was a little bit too much. Maybe they were all trying to speak at the same time and say it forth, and you know, maybe multitude messages and tongues, and you know, somebody trying to bring forth a doctrine, somebody with a psalm, and you know, it sounds like perhaps there was some confusion in the body of Christ at that point. So here he's just trying to clarify things and bring it forth so that it will be done decently and in order as he ends this chapter. So here he gives some guiding points here. So here he tells us, verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So here, just to clarify it, if an individual is speaking forth a message in tongues, it tells here that, you know, let it be done by two or the most three, and then with the hope that there would be an interpreter to interpret the message. But in the case that there would be no interpreter, then it's told that whoever it is that is giving the message in an unknown tongue then should remain silent as far as that goes, and then speak forth to himself and to God. And then likewise, he says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And again, I believe he wants everybody to have opportunities. You know, he doesn't want, you know, a person coming in and taking over and you know, giving 10 messages in a row or 10 prophecies in a row or whatever. He wants to involve as many as possible, I believe, here. And that's his point here. And he's saying, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And then, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So give the other an opportunity to say what God has put on his or her heart. And so he explains, verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Praise the Lord. So I believe he wants to include everybody in opportunity and not one person just, you know, monopolizing the whole setting, the whole prayer meeting or whatever all is going on there. And then he explains verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, we do have some control, you know, and God isn't going to force it. But, you know, if it's
time for somebody else to speak, then we need to allow them to go forth. And yes, we need to just let it work in such a way because, yes, the Spirit within us is also subject to our discretion there. And, you know, we don't want to give over to confusion. And that's explained in the next verse. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So, praise the Lord. I believe there were some matters that were going on there. They just weren't being done with the greatest of wisdom. And it seems that there must have been some confusion that was going on. And you know, it wasn't edifying, therefore, or exhortation or any of the desirable traits were not allowed, therefore, to be utilized like God would desire them to be. So it's explained, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Praise the Lord. And then we go to verse 34 and 35, and here is another matter that seemed to be misunderstood in this body of believers here at Corinth. It says in verse 34, here's something that obviously must have been discussed among them. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And then verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak at the church. Now, Paul is going to question this. And if you look back at the law, you don't find any reference to this that was being declared to some extent in that church. So obviously this was something that, you know, was being discussed, but it wasn't biblical. It wasn't scriptural. And Paul's, again, he's putting things in order. And here he wants to clarify this point also. He says in verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? And of course, we know in Joel, the second chapter, that, you know, it's very clearly told us that with the outpouring of the Spirit, yes, of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Your old men would dream dreams and your young men would see visions. And it's said very clearly here, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And you know, it is very clear that it wasn't just men that would prophesy, but the point is made very clear in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that even us women can have an opportunity, yes, to be in the kingdom of God and all be a participant and do what the Lord would put on our hearts to bring forth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, that word from Joel the second was so important that Peter brought it forth on the day of Pentecost. And he said it so clearly, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last day, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh.
and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise the Lord. He quoted from Joel, the second chapter, and Acts, the second chapter.
Yes.
And oh, I believe that makes it so very clear. That was the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh, that which happened on the day of Pentecost. And oh, what a difference it makes in our lives. That is a transforming power of God when he comes into our lives to change us. Oh, to give us a strength beyond our own. Oh, yes, so that he can be in us and walk in us and talk through us and use us. Oh, praise the Lord. Abide with us forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful gift the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Praise the Lord.
And yes, amen.
Paul continues here as he ends this chapter. He says in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Then to conclude, he says in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He felt that to prophesy in the midst of a congregation at a gathering was more beneficial than everybody coming together speaking in other tongues. Oh, yes. To give, in other words, if you would prophesy, you'd speak forth in a language that was familiar to all, hopefully, then it would be edifying. It would be profitable. Oh, yes, it could exhort and comfort and whatever all was needed. So he's, you know, admonishing them to covet to prophesy.
Yes.
But he says very clearly here, forbid not to speak with tongues. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And he ends by saying in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. There were things that had to be clarified. Yes, this church at Corinth had a lot of zeal. And yes, they were striving. Oh, yes, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they wanted to use their gift in any way they could. But praise the Lord, it was necessary that things be done in an orderly manner, in a decent manner. And in here, in this chapter, we have some guidelines. Praise the Lord. And if they were profitable for that time back then, I believe they're profitable for us right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
thank
amen.
The Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you would pour it out upon your people. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that we would have another Pentecost, oh, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus. Oh, God, that the prophet from it, oh, Lord, would be seen in this world. Oh, God, that we could, oh, yes, make a great stand. And, oh, Lord, have that power within that you have, oh, yes, brought forth for your church, Lord. Oh, God, that you've ordained for your people. I pray that you'd work in a mighty way in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise our God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, there is a song that comes to mind, and I think I know where it is. I'm just going to check. Number 7 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, Let the Holy Ghost Come In. Number 7. Would you be redeemed from every inbred sin? Have the Holy Spirit constantly within. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let doubt and fear. Make the consecration, trust in God and man. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God and man. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the fire of God to fill your soul? Burn up all the dross and sanctify the whole. Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Rescue those that Christ would save. Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you.